Appreciate this meeting, and we certainly need the Lord's help this afternoon. We'd like to read from Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury, or extreme poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. I'd like for you to picture this scene in your mind. Can you imagine these rich men coming to the temple, maybe having bags with gold and silver coins, and perhaps making quite a scene of getting their coins out and casting them in? Perhaps they chose the time that they knew the temple would be the busiest to cast their riches in of their abundance. But I want you to picture also this poor widow woman that came, perhaps dressed quite poorly, maybe ashamed that she had so little to offer, hoping that nobody would notice it was just two small copper coins. But there was someone there that noticed. It was the Lord himself. And he said she cast in more than they all. Did you know the Lord is not impressed with numbers? The Lord is not impressed with the size of your bank account. He's not impressed with technology, with the power of militaries. But when we cast in all, the Lord sees that. He takes notice. And he noticed the woman that day. He said, she hath cast in all the living that she had. This woman couldn't go home to her husband and say, I just wanted to let you know, I felt inspired today, and I cast in all our living. But I know you're going to get out there and work hard and make up for it, and we're going to be all right. She couldn't do that because she didn't have any husband to go home to. She couldn't go home and get a Social Security check out of the mailbox or empty a little bit out of that large retirement fund because she didn't have it. Jesus said she cast in all her living. My question is, how could she do it? How could she cast everything in? I'd like to turn to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. First Kings chapter 17 and verse 7. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. A widow woman. Well, Lord, aren't there rich people in the land that could sustain me? But the Lord sent Elijah to a widow woman. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Looked pretty dismal, didn't it? Pretty bleak situation. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." Make me a cake first. You're on the verge of starvation, but go ahead and make me the cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, "The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the margin says, a full year. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Cast in your all. Go ahead and make a cake for the man of God first. This widow woman obeyed, and the Lord blessed. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. Being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. Why did you waste this precious ointment on the Lord? Did you know that nothing that we give to the Lord is a waste? It doesn't matter if it's the last two copper coins we have, or if it's the last cake of food that we have. If we give that to the Lord, that is not wasted. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her." Why have you wasted that precious ointment? Let me tell you what is a waste. Living a selfish life. Living a life of simply accumulating the riches of this world. To come down to the end of life's way, and for this to be true, nothing but leaves I've gathered. So sad, but alas, 'tis true. What I have done, I never, never more can undo. Past is the harvest season, the summer is come and gone. Reaping for future burning, the thorns and briars I've sown. That is a waste, to spend our life in selfishness, in refusing to cast all in withholding when the Lord is calling for us. To the Native Americans, the most sacred symbol was the circle. And there is a story that is told that goes something like this. I don't know if this story is legend or true, but the story is there was an Indian who wanted to be accepted by God. And he drew a circle, and he took his blanket and he put it in the circle. But nothing happened. And so he took his gun And he put his gun in the circle too. But nothing happened. Then he led his horse into the circle. Still nothing. Then he understood. He went and got in the circle himself to be accepted by God. We have to cast it all in. We can't just give the Lord of the abundance of our riches. But we have to be willing to put everything into our sacrifice for God. Do you know what that man's blanket represented? His warmth, his security, the things that make us comfortable in life. We need to be willing to say, "Here, Lord, I'm willing to step outside of my comfort zone. I give you the things that made me comfortable." His gun represented his protection. It represented his ability to kill food. And he turned that over to the Lord as well. And his horse represented his transportation. It was his way of getting to where he wanted to get in life. And he was willing to turn that over. Are there things that we're hanging on to today that are a security to us, that are things that we're just not willing to go quite that far? Lord, help us that we will be willing to cast it all in. The song says, "You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid." There was an appeal made the other night for new ministers. I appreciated that. I see ministers are dying and they're being replaced at a slower rate than they're dying. That burdens my heart. My question is, where are the ministers? Where are the new gospel workers? Where are the missionaries? Where are the Sunday school teachers? Lord, help us. Are we really casting it all in? Or are the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of life choking out that which would bring forth fruit in our lives? Lord, help us. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah 6 and 8. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Is there anyone here today that is willing to say that same thing? Is there anyone that during the course of this meeting has been hearing the call, "Who shall I send?" The world is a dark world. There are hurting people out there. There are people that desperately need freedom from the things that have entrapped them in their lives. Does anyone here hear the call? Does anyone have a longing to share the wonderful news of the gospel with the world? "Whom shall I send?" is what the Lord asks. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 5. David was making preparation for the building of the temple. And David asked the question, after talking about the preparation for the building of the temple, in verse 5, he asked, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Do you remember the story that Jesus told in the New Testament, that there was a great supper made, an invitation made, "Come to the supper"? And it said they all with one consent began to make excuse. One said, "I bought a piece of ground and I need to go see it." Another said, "I bought 5 oxen and I need to go prove them." Another said, "I've married a wife." Excuses. But the question is, who is willing this day Lord, I'm young. I want to enjoy life. Just give me a little more time. Let me just finish college. Well, Lord, after I'm married, then I can consecrate myself to you. After my children are raised, I'm just so tied up. I'll be more free after my children are raised. Well, when I retire, then I'm going to have some time to serve you, Lord. Who is willing this day? Who hears the call today? Who's willing to cast all in today? 1 Kings chapter 19. Speaking of Elijah, he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. This was a call to be a prophet. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then will I follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. You notice what Elisha did when he received the call. Here was his livelihood, and he took two of those oxen and slew them and fed the people. And the instruments, I assumed he burned the yoke or something. It sounds like to me he was burning bridges behind him. He was making a commitment. Lord, I'm casting all in for you. I'm not going back to farming anymore. In 1912, missionary Dr. William Leslie went to live and minister to tribal people in a remote corner of the Democratic Republic of Congo. William and his wife, Clara, cleared enough of the leopard-infested jungle along the Kwilu River at Vanga for a new mission station. 1912. Some of the villages that surrounding Vanga were still practicing cannibalism at the time. After 17 years, William returned to the United States a discouraged man, believing he failed to make an impact for Christ. He died 9 years after his return. But in 2010, a team led by Eric Ramsey made a shocking and sensational discovery. They found a network of congregations hidden like glittering diamonds in the dense jungle across the Kwilu River from Vanga, where William was stationed. Ramsey and his team flew east from Kinshasa to Vanga, a 2.5-hour flight in a Cessna. After they reached Vanga, they hiked a mile to the Kwilu River and used dugout canoes to cross the half-mile-wide expanse. Then they hiked with backpacks another 10 miles into the jungle before they reached the first village of the Yansi people. Ramsey thought the Yansi in this remote area might have some exposure to the name of Jesus, but no real understanding of who he is. They were unprepared for their remarkable find. When we got there, we found a network of reproducing churches throughout the jungle. Ramsey reports, each village had its own gospel choir, even though they wouldn't call it that. They wrote their own songs and would have sing-offs from village to village. They found a church building in each of the 8 villages they visited across 34 miles. Ramsey and his team even found a 1,000-seat stone building that they called a cathedral in one of the villages. He learned that this building got so crowded in the 1980s, with many walking miles to attend, that a church planting movement began in the surrounding villages. What do you think would happen if we cast in all? What kind of results do you think there would be? William H. Leslie was born in Ontario, Canada. He followed his intended profession as a pharmacist until his conversion in 1888. He moved to the Chicago area, where God began to grip his heart with the desire to become a medical missionary. Now, let me put in a little side note here. This is what someone else wrote, his desire to become a medical missionary. And I want to say that the term medical missionary is a modern invention. Jesus sent missionaries, and let's read the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Notice this: they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, William Leslie probably did the best he knew. But there is a better way, and that is to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That was the instruction of Jesus. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. When he had left speaking, Luke 5 and 4, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. Verse 11, Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook their nets. They forsook that draught of fishes. Their boats, their careers, they forsook all and followed him. And revolutionized the world. Let's not set our ambitions too low in life to see how many fishes we can catch, how big a fishing fleet we can have, how large our portfolio is. Let's not set our ambitions that low. Let's cast in all and see what the Lord will do. Later, Peter made reference to this time in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. I tend to admire people who put their whole heart into something. People that just go about something with a great gusto. Steve Jobs is an example. That man did amazing things. He was so dedicated to his work that those that were close around him urged him to bathe more often. He didn't even take time for some things he should have taken time for. An amazing man. He amassed a fortune. I wonder what would have happened had Steve Jobs redirected his energies from the wealth of this world and from the fun of creating new and exciting things to a cause so much greater, and that is the kingdom of God. Had he cast in all into the kingdom of God, what would have happened? And there are many others that we could name. Men that have amassed fortunes and fame and done so much in this lifetime, and like was mentioned the other night, ended up losing it all. Oh, I'd much rather cast in everything for the Lord, wouldn't you? The scripture says in Ecclesiastes, the wise man, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. That's some good advice. But let's let our hand find the right thing. Let's cast in all into the kingdom of heaven. There's a great reward for that in Psalms 126 and 5. Psalms 126 and 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want to tell you, there is no more rewarding career in life than being a spiritual midwife. To seeing people delivered from sin, broken lives, broken homes, addictions, to seeing them set free and made a new creature in Christ, there's nothing more rewarding than that. Oh, it's worth so much more than everything this world has to offer. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. There is something exciting about it. Jesus said, I have meat ye know not of. There was something that motivated him in life. It wasn't the accolades of the people. It wasn't those that were wanting to make him king. It wasn't the glory of all the kingdoms of the world that the enemy came to offer Jesus. But Jesus had a higher vision than all of that. And I hope you do today as well. Because when we get that vision, we're going to be willing to cast in all. What better example do we have of casting in all than Jesus himself? Let's read in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9. Isaiah 53 and 9. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Do you want to see the results of what you are putting into your life and be satisfied? Do you want to be an old person and look back and take satisfaction in the memories of your life and say, it has been good? Or do you want to be like the song says, nothing but leaves I've gathered, nothing but worthless leaves? It says, he shall see the travail of his soul, speaking of Jesus, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He hath poured out his soul unto death. Everything that he had, poured it out. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Jesus went into the temple in verse 13 at Jerusalem. And he took a scourge of small cords and he drove out those that were changing money and the animals, and he overthrew the tables. Verse 16, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence and make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. My question for you today is, what is it that is consuming you in life? What is the motivating force for the things that you do? For Jesus, it was the kingdom of God. And he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. This would be a good time, start of a new year, to draw the circle and put it all in, and to step in ourselves. This is a good time to cast it all in with no reservations and see what the Lord will do. The Lord will bless. The Lord will make our lives full and rich. Did you know you can't outgive the Lord? When you make that commitment, Lord, I'll serve you. I'm putting it all in. The blessings will be greater than what you ever put in. May God bless you.